Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
We're hearing children with autism. Some children with autism are being refused places in summer camps, with some being told that they're going to have to employ an SNA, a special needs assistant, in order to send their child to a summer camp. And I want to hear people's experience of this today. Tracy is with me on the line. Tracy, what's your experience?
So I have two children with additional needs. I'm neurodiverse myself. So I have Willow with complex needs, she's 7, and Noah has ADHD and autism. Firstly, for Willow, this is not even a conversation because there's no complex needs. She's a wheelchair user and she needs support for everything she does. So there's absolutely nothing available for Willow. For Noah would present, you know, quite capable. You know, it would be obviously ADHD because it's hyperimpulsive. ASD with him is not as obvious, so people seem to miss that and not understand. I have done summer camps with Noah and they've been difficult, very difficult. And he has been very upset and we've had to leave after one day. And you'd often, you know, there'd be a piece in the application form when you apply for summer camps to notify them if your children have any additional needs or neurodiversity. And we've always filled those in. Yes, you would find that there's the lack of efficient training or awareness. We had one camp where after day one, I had to say to the lady who forcibly removed Noah from a space with her hands. And I talked to her the next day and I said, look, Noah's neurodiverse, he's ADHD and autism. Oh, I don't know all about that. She was very defensive. And I've worked with kids. And I said, well, obviously, you know, every child is different and every child needs different approach. I spoke to the leader then. I said, look, you know, Noah may seem like he's coping and all the rest, but, you know, he does need that movement space. He does need support and awareness. And that was just one example. There was another camp last year after day two. I had to remove him as well. Very, very challenging. And, you know, setting up these camps and saying that you're there to support kids is one thing, but actually knowing how to support the children is a very different situation.
So
I'm actually... sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask. So you, Tracy, you fill out the form or the application form or do it online and you put down Willow and Noah's names and you fill in the detail or the box that talks about if children have any additional needs or requirements and you fill that in and kids are accepted onto the programme and that's fine. And then you get there and by day two, the cracks start to appear.
Yeah, and I mean, you pay your fee when you're signing up. So, you know, one camp we paid €75 and that was just gone. Now, I have to say, you know, they were very good. It was actually the cool camps. The guy that runs it, I was speaking to him. He's like, look, we'll fit you in, you know, in the other one because they know Noah up there because it was sold out when I went to apply and they were very good. But Noah just didn't want to go then because he'd been upset. For Willow, there is no opportunities. And in our local, actually, club, it's called Boramine. It's a running club and an athletic club down there. They've developed a sports for all, which is fantastic. Football for all on a Wednesday. So all kids of every ability goes down and there's a lot of support, which is amazing. But those groups are limited. I'm actually in the process now of setting up Neurodiversity Kells. We were at the launch of Neurodiversity in Avon last week.
Yeah.
So it's under As I Am, and it's really, you know, to develop our communities around awareness and inclusion. And that goes across the board for everything. You know, these spaces need to support every child, no matter whether they recognise as having an additional need or neurodiversity. Every child is different. And just because they don't have a diagnosis doesn't mean they don't need support. And there's loads of camps and they're rolling them out and you're paying the funds. But often you would find that it's younger, you know, young adults supporting kids in this, and it's challenging for them. So I think, you know, we're in a place now where every child deserves the same chance, which is what As I Am would say. So every child needs to be supported.
Okay.
And, you know, we need to invest in the camps that they have the sufficient training and can support kids who are neurodiverse.
Stay with us, Tracy, because Eleanor's on the line as well. Eleanor, like, summer camps refusing to accept children because they have autism or other additional needs, is that something that you've experienced?
Yeah. My children are older now, they're adults, but when my son was and going back 20 years, there was nothing, absolutely nothing. And but what really annoys me now, and I work with families, I'm also the head of autism studies in UCC, but I work with families and I'm hearing it's still going on. But what is even worse about it, Andrea, is the fact that we're advertising as inclusive spaces, which are just not the case. And what happens with a lot of the camps is they employ young teachers and whose training should be there. But it's when they go outside of that group, and they're very hard to get these young teachers to work in the summer, you know, because they're doing other stuff, they're doing exam corrections or whatever. But we're now getting to the stage where, you know, that they're going to be liability issues if a child gets harmed or gets hurt. And we see a lot of those cases in the newspaper every day. But autism groups are coming together and are setting up their own camps, ASD Ireland in Limerick, Docus in Limerick, there's a couple in Cork, because parents are just sick of their child coming home distressed and not wanting to go to be involved.
So, is your point, Eleanor, it's insurance? Is that the...
No. I don't think it's insurance. I think it's just a lack of awareness.
Right,
I think it's
okay.
A lack of training okay. And awareness. I see it in groups that come to us for training in UCC and, you know, they're saying, oh, look, it's for their day-to-day stuff. It's not for their summer camps, which doesn't make a jot of sense to me. You know, but if you're not trained, there is a fear when you do have children coming in that you're not going to be able to deal with it. Then don't advertise as inclusive, because you're not inclusive.
But it's a case that, you know, in your experience previously, and I appreciate your own kids are that bit older now, Eleanor, but that often you would apply to a camp or a summer camp or a course or classes or something. You'd say that, yeah, you know, John has, you know, additional needs or whatever those needs are. And then you're just told, you know, out straight, no, not accepted, not getting in.
Before there wasn't even a question of it. They weren't accepted. It was actually on it if your child has additional needs. And I'm going back a good while ago, but, you know, it's not that long ago if you think of it. Within the last 20 years, they actually had on it, we do not want children with additional needs. It's not really the place for them. And you'd ring and you'd say, but I'll come down and I'll wait outside. And you're just dying to have your child be involved. You can't send your other two kids and leave one child at home. Do you know what I mean? That's not fair. It's no point in putting them in mainstream schools if they're going to be excluded everywhere else.
Fiona, has things changed in your experience? Like, I know Eleanor's talking maybe about a number of years ago, but like, what have you noticed in more recent years, Fiona?
Absolutely not. It's exactly as Eleanor says, and 20 years moved on and it is not changing. I'll give an example of up to last year, there was a fantastic setup in Thomas, ran by a brother and a sister. It was the only club. It was a mixture of an after-school club and a summer camp.
Fiona, hang on. I'm just going to cut across you for a moment because your line is dipped there for a moment. Just bear with me there till I see if I can get you reconnected, because I want to hear your story. Is Amanda there? Amanda, how are you?
You?
Good, not too bad. Tell us your experience, Amanda. Like,
I've had good experience, but that's with like a local youth service, where like he would attend after school anyway, and they do run a program. So I've not had any issues with exclusion. Now this year, school are running a program, which I think is great, because we've recently moved into secondary, so we have an extra month of holidays that we never had before. So school are actually going to run a 2-week program, which takes an awful lot of pressure off us. But I guess what distresses me as a parent to someone that has additional needs is that, you know, does this not fall under discrimination?
Well, I was just going to say, surely this is a breach of law.
Absolutely, because if you look up the definition of discrimination under the Disability Act, it's somebody that is less favourable and treated less favourably than their peer who doesn't have additional needs. You know, so this struck me this morning
when I heard about this, that if summer camps are out there, and I'm not by any means like at all insinuating that every summer camp is at this, but if there are summer camps who are refusing to accept children because they've autism or there are other additional needs, I would have assumed that they were in breach of the law.
And I would check that under the Disability Act, because, you know, these kids are classed as having a disability. And that comes, you know, under the Disability Act, it does come under whether it's physical, mental, you know, anything along those lines, that if you are discriminated against, then, you know, it is illegal.
Fiona, you wanted to tell your story.
Yes. No, I don't think anything has changed in 20 years. I work with parents. I work on the family forum with the local CDNT in my area, and we're in Talla, and we have the largest amount of children on our books here and the largest waiting list. And I meet parents every day. My son is non-verbal. He has an intellectual disability, and I wouldn't have put him forward for groups because he suffers with severe anxiety. But in the last year, we've actually managed to overcome some of that behaviour. And I've been looking and looking, and it is exactly like that. Clubs will really say, no, we do not accept children with intellectual disability or children who will be on the autism spectrum.
So have you been told, Fiona, sorry, have you been told, no,
yes,
we're
no.
not accepting your son or daughter because of autism?
Yes. The words would be more, we do not have the capability to deal with your son or daughter. So in one sense, there is a gap there where there should be an SNA type person in every activity. And that is something that should be worked through with
The line has just gone there again, Fiona. I don't know, maybe is that the phone, it's not too far away from you. It's just, it just dips every so often there. Just let's see if we can get that sorted. Adam Harris is the CEO of As I Am. Adam, is this not against the law?
The Disability Act has already been referenced today, which requires businesses, services, goods to be accessible for disabled people. In addition, the Equal Status Act makes very clear that disability is a protected grounds within our community, in which no organisation or individual can discriminate or treat people less favourably as a result. All organisations have an obligation to provide reasonable accommodation to people with disabilities to access their services. And just last year, the Workplace Relations Commission, which deals with complaints under the Equal Status Act, fined an equestrian centre for this exact behaviour of refusing to enrol an autistic child on a summer camp. But unfortunately, I think on the one hand, we see these awful cases of children every day be turned away. I think when families are turned away, there's often a sense of, well, if that's the attitude of the provider, I wouldn't send my child there anyway. And unfortunately, we often see people who don't even consider that it will be a possibility for their child because we still accept this discrimination within our community. In our recent Same Chance report, which documents the experiences of 1,700 autistic people across the country, nearly 40% have experienced discrimination in the last 12 months. So what we would really say is 1 in 27 children of school-going age have an autism diagnosis. Why are summer camps still being designed and to not meet this?
What are you actually hearing, Adam, from parents through the groups? Like, is it just as direct and point blank as no, you know, we won't take Andrea?
At times, yes. So we see very direct communications such as that, which are obviously very clearly discriminatory. We see soft barriers erected. We see kind of the attitude of the camp down the road might be better. Your child might not enjoy this activity. Worryingly, what we see in some instances, both in terms of summer camps and extracurricular activities, is public buildings funded by the taxpayers, such as schools, hosting these summer camps that aren't inclusive. And that's entirely unacceptable. If an activity is to be put on in a school building, for example, after school or during the summer, it must be inclusive and open to all.
Have you been told, Fiona, that, you know, maybe children would be included or would be taken onto the programme if an SNA was employed?
No, I haven't. That would have been a suggestion that I had made, because like that, I have twins. Finn is actually a twin, and his sister had been at a summer camp in her school, and Finn just happened to be in that school that year, and I had asked, could you be included? It was only a week, and it was a no. Now, that school would have SNAs, but the SNAs weren't signing up to do
and
the
who,
camp.
Who in that instance, Adam, would supply or would pay for the SNA?
So I think what's important to say is businesses have an obligation to plan to be inclusive and accessible and to make reasonable accommodation. So, you know, if you open a bar or restaurant, you have to budget and plan to have a disabled bathroom, for example. And this is no different. If you want to provide supports and services in the community to children in this day and age, you can't exclude somebody just because of their neurotype or support needs. I don't think we'd be having this discussion if it was about a summer camp saying we don't take LGBT young people or we don't take children of a certain race, and yet we're allowing discrimination to take place on the ground in neurotype.
There's a text in from another Adam here, and let me just put some of these messages to you. Adam's got in touch. He says, in fairness to the trainers at the camps, if they aren't trained, they can't take people with additional needs. Some of these coaches are just young lads helping out during the summer camp. Another listener says, yes, this is unfortunate, but the extra cost of providing for additional needs could make the camps not viable. What would you say to those texters, Adam?
Well, what I think is quite clearly, we're not even often seeing a scenario in which cost is being explored. We're seeing people make knee-jerk decisions, not based on need, but often based on prejudice or stereotype. What I would also say is the reality is many of these camps are private providers. And, you know, as we see in many areas of our society, it's not a justification that we use low-paid staff or we use untrained staff, and therefore we're not able to meet your needs. It's reasonable to expect that private providers would act professionally and they would put together a product that meets the diverse needs that exist within our community and our society. Cost isn't a justification for taking away a child's rights.
Niall is with us on the line. Niall, you've been listening here today for the past few minutes and you got in touch. What's your experience?
Yeah, myself and my wife run a youth club here in Navan for children with autism. And we set it up because our teenagers, the same story we hear with everyone is they no friends, they went to these groups and they didn't fit in, they got slagged or there wasn't the support there and they just didn't feel comfortable, they weren't able for it and they dropped out. So the parents are looking for things for these kids. What I can see and from listening to, you know, everyone saying that they've been turned away because this child has autism, if these are run voluntary, and we find ourselves trying to find volunteers to help out, then the process of getting them guarded, vetted and all that kind of thing as well, it can be lengthy and it's kind of some people don't want to go through all that hassle. So that could be a factor in them not taking because they don't have enough staff and volunteers, you know.
You think that's a deterrent?
It is, yeah. Like I said, we find ourselves, we run four groups a week here and we have a waiting list as well. We could run every night of the week if we had enough volunteers. And like I said, we set it up because there's nothing for our children, you know. And when they go to these groups, they not only are the people running the groups not properly trained, they don't have enough people there to run them. So some children with autism and additional needs, they kind of sometimes need one-to-one. So if you don't have the numbers to support that person, it's just going to cause more anxiety for them. And that's why it's more hassle for the parent to send the child to these groups because they're getting phone calls and they're throwing a tantrum. Yeah. And it's not a tantrum, it's a meltdown due to anxiety and overstimulation or sensory overload.
So that's probably why then, Fiona, like we've heard from Niall there and others as well, that a lot of parents who are parents of children with autism or with other additional needs, that's often why they're setting up their own groups, their own camps.
And it's great if you are in a position to do that, but most parents that have children, either one or two, simply do not have the headspace or do not have to get up and go because they're probably exhausted. A lot of autistic children don't sleep. And you go through certain years where you are just plodding along. So this is why something like a release for an hour or two to get a coffee on your own would be just amazing. But it's something that one of your children can do if they're neurotypical and the other child can't. And can I just say one really important thing, and it's really hard to get over this, is that there was a really good camp set up, run privately, and it had to close last year after asking for funding from the government for 5 years. They were actually covering Tala and the Rathfarnham area, and they had to close. And that has been a loss.
Yeah, that's a loss. Okay. Well, is a lot of people actually getting in touch with the, you know, summer camps that they recommend, that are very good, that they'd highly suggest, good recommendations? This listener, though, says, I'm in the very same situation. I'm listening to the parents here today. I'm in the same situation with my own son at the moment. A lot of places refusing him because of his disability. My son has autism. They claim that they haven't got the resources. My son was out of creche and preschool because they hadn't got the resources for him. They claim that he'd outgrown the class. lass gave him 2 weeks' notice. I had to leave my own job. I'm now not working since August and still haven't got a placement for him this year. Adam, just finally, like, there's many other listeners getting in touch, texts here today with their own similar stories and experiences of this. I've basically been refused the summer camp place because their child has an additional needs. What do you suggest they do?
So any family that's having this experience is welcome to get in touch with us at As I Am. You can reach us by support@asiam.ie or 0818 234 234. And we'll certainly be happy to advise you about your rights and the options open to you. Additionally, we do have access to a legal advice clinic if that's the most appropriate way to handle your experience. What I would say as well is choice is really important. And of course, for many autistic young people, camps that specifically are designed with the needs of autistic people in mind can be really important. We ran one ourselves last year, and what was very clear from that actually was the stigma that still exists for parents. So many parents even reluctant to tell us about their children's support needs for fear that they would be turned away. So we do need to get to a point where every child can be included in their own community or go to an autism-specific camp if that's what they wish. But a final point that I just want to make is, you know, children across the country are looking forward to the summer. Many will be taking it for granted they can go for the summer camp. That's not the experience for our community. And that's why the summer programme is really important. That's where schools can opt to open for a period during the summer to provide that predictability, that routine and fun activities for autistic children. Okay. We're still not seeing enough schools participate, and we need to see a more flexible approach so that money gets spent that's available, and that includes supporting community-based
So you're looking for more schools to take part in it. That's Adam Harris there, who's the CEO of As I Am, but also the experience of Tracy and Eleanor, Fiona, Amanda and Niall there as well.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.